He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the new week. Welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, on this 10-4 Good Buddy Day in October. We have the second quarter or third quarter of 2021 now behind us, and we'll be getting those earnings reports soon. We're off to kind of a rocky start here in the market today as we await the earnings season to start. The Dow was up for a bit. It was up about 60 or 70 points, but now it's down 40 points. It's down to 34,285. It had a rocky week, which we'll talk about today. It had a good day on Friday with the news out of Merck on their new COVID-19 pill. Not shot, but pill. The S&P is down 27 points right now to 4330. The NASDAQ is the one taking it on the chin today. The NASDAQ's down 200 points last time I looked. Yeah, 201 points. That's a 1.4% drop. It's clear down to 14,364. I'm seeing some big weakness in the chip stocks, semiconductor, software stocks, and social media. Well, what's left? That's pretty much the entire NASDAQ, right? The small caps are down 0.4%, 22.33. We've got oil up again. Well, boy, it's up big time. It's up 2.34. That's stoking inflation fears. That's probably your biggest reason why the NASDAQ's down today. Oil up 3.1%. You've got interest rates moving up a little bit. 4 basis points, 1.50, and Bitcoin up a little, 199 per coin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we're kind of picking up this week where we left off really the last two or three weeks, with another big down day in the NASDAQ. Now, I do have an inverse position against the NASDAQ in my ultra growth portfolios. I saw some weakness developing in the NASDAQ here over the last few weeks. And I have also done some selling here in the NASDAQ. What's wrong with the NASDAQ? Well, I would say the rising interest rates are the biggest factor right now. On the NASDAQ, we're up to 1.50 today. Of course, we got a lot higher than that back in February and March. But we're starting to march higher here with interest rates, and supply chain issues continue to persist. Continues to be a big problem across a lot of areas, and especially in the tech arena. And you've got some very high multiples on those NASDAQ stocks, which makes them the most vulnerable. Now, back in February and March, the big guys like Microsoft and Facebook and NVIDIA and AMD and Intel and those great big mega caps, they held up pretty well. But the level beneath those big caps, the more speculative high flyer, high growth, futures, earnings in the future maybe type stocks, they got hammered in February and March. They have never recovered from them. And now you seem to have a second wave going through the NASDAQ that may be starting to pick off some of the big names. So we have to be very, very careful here going forward. This is not a young bull market. I've said that many times. It's been going since 2009. With the S&P down around 650, 660, and now it's clear up to 4,300. We've had earnings growing. We've had an expansion. excuse me, in the economy for the last 12 years. And we've got a high ratio, very high ratios on a lot of those high growth stocks. So that is creating some nervousness in the market right now. And of course, you throw in the persistent COVID-19 worries, you throw in the inflation worries, which are real, you throw in the interest rates rising all of a sudden, and the Fed becoming a little bit more hawkish, and you have some nervousness in the NASDAQ right now. Now, last week, we had some big down days, and then we finished the week on a pretty good up note with Merck's COVID pill, which was called a game changer. And I saw a pretty good advance, some pretty good moves in a lot of the travel, leisure, hotel stocks. In fact, we had a pretty good day on Friday. And I thought maybe that would turn this market down, back up, which has kind of been not a very good mood here for the last couple of weeks. But it looks like we're going to start off the week on a down note. Now, we did have a halt in the trading of Evergrande. That really unnerved the market last night during the pre-market hours, and it would seem that Evergrande is going to be bought out by another company, which to me, that's a positive. At least there's hope there that Evergrande is not going to collapse, but that has got the market a little bit nervous today, despite the big 480-point move on Friday, which you can attribute to Merck's new pill, which we want to talk about a little bit here during the show today. But I did see, like, the airline stocks, Delta, American, United, Southwest, etc., the gaming stocks like Penn National and MGM, and the cruise ship stocks like Carnival and Norwegian, and the hotel stocks like Marriott and Hilton, all thinking that all of a sudden we had a cure for COVID. Well, it's not exactly a cure, but the pill does pretty much stop COVID in its tracks in the clinical trials, and it reduces the need for hospitalization, and it reduces the deaths by about 50%. So that's pretty big results there. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA head, said, you know, this is a game changer in the fight against COVID. So it's not spilling into today's market. That's the only thing I would say. Today we're back to worrying about inflation and Evergrande and all of the rest. They have a new president in Japan, Fumio Kishida, elected as Japan's 100th prime minister. He is a social democrat. He's a member of the Liberal Democratic Party, elected as the new prime minister of Japan. Japan is down on that news. I would say another thing that's got the markets worried here today, look at this big jump in oil prices once again. You had a big spill off of California over the weekend, not too far from where I grew up, and it's impacting the ocean, the wetlands there, big spill. And oil prices continue to head higher. Oil prices are a big part of the inflation equation, and that would definitely be one of the reasons why you're seeing a sell-off, especially in the NASDAQ today. Oil prices continue to move higher. You know, it may be necessary. I did own some oil stocks earlier this year, and then that move petered out, and now it's picking up again. And this time it looks like it may be headed higher, oil prices. You had one big firm last week saying $100 per share. $100 per share is where they thought oil prices were headed. Well, that oil platform off the Southern California coast of Huntington Beach. That's just about a couple hours north of San Diego. The pipeline has been shut off. It is a publicly traded company that's involved. Amplify Energy, the symbol AMPY, 126,000 gallons of oil have been spilled, spoiling beaches and threatening wetlands south of Los Angeles. The offshore platform receives oil from 70 wells and then sends it to a local refinery, which, you pass up there on the 405 freeway. I've driven by it many, many times, causing some big environmental impacts up there in that neck of the woods. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk just a little bit more about this Merck COVID-19 pill and the developers of it. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. I would say one more worry about the NASDAQ is the continuing relations issue with the U.S. and China on trade. And, you remember how the tariffs did for the market back in 2018, kind of brought the market to a screeching halt. And you're having a similar kind of reaction here, at least in part, with the breakdown of relations between the U.S. and China as it relates to trade. Now, Merck, on the other hand, which is a member of the Dow, and one of the big reasons why the Dow was up 485 points on Friday is that Merck, this new drug, drew a lot of attention, and Scott Gottlieb calling it a breakthrough drug. Well, soon after the promising data disclosed by Merck Pill, which was developed in a partnership with Ridgeback Biotherapeutics, which we'll talk about here in a minute, you've got countries clamoring, including the UK, the US, and Malaysia, clamoring to get supplies of the pill. We'll see. Meanwhile, this company, Ridgeback Bio, they're the ones, it's a husband and wife team, Wayne and Wendy Holman, co-founders of Ridgeback Biotherapeutics. They're the ones that came up with the vaccine for Ebola. And now they've come up with this pill for COVID-19. Speaking to CNBC, the Holmans, who are married, explained that the way the drug acts on the COVID virus works no matter what variant has infected a particular patient. Now, that's an extremely powerful statement there. Doesn't matter if it morphs, what variant it is, this pill works on it. Similarly, the way the medicine attacks the virus should not be impacted by a previous course of vaccination, they suggested. Well, we'll see. They don't have full approval yet. They're in phase 3 trials. But the results, very promising. The company ended the trial a day early and will now file for an emergency use authorization with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Wendy Holman noted that they turned to Merck as a partner after Ridgeback was unable to get government funding to help in the drug's manufacturing. Now, why would that be? I don't know. Why weren't they able to get the funding from the government? I don't know if that would be the Trump administration or the Biden administration. You have to look into that one there. That seems kind of strange to me. But the name of the drug doesn't exactly roll off the tip of your tongue. Molnupiravir. Molnupiravir. We'll be hearing a lot more about that in the future. We had some pretty good economic reports come in on Friday. That's not really helping the market today. ISM Manufacturing Index was better than expected. the consumer sentiment numbers out of the University of Michigan were better than expected, but we're seeing a sell-off in the market today. I would have to say rising interest rates and fear of inflation and the deteriorating issue with China are probably the biggest problems. William Shatner is going to catch a ride in space with Blue Origin. Well, that's the Amazon player in the space race. And, of course, we saw Bezos flying around. Yeah, he went straight up and then came right back down. But William Shatner, of Star Trek fame, and company VP of Mission Operations Audrey Powers will fly on board the New Shepard NS-18 with crewmates Chris Boshizen and Glenn DeVries. Blue Origin's next flight is scheduled on October 12th. You know, William Shatner's no spring chicken. I wonder if he booked his flight on Priceline, where he made a lot of money. You know, he was Priceline's spokesman for a long time on doing the TV commercials and whatnot, and he was given a lot of stock from what I understand. Of course, Priceline is now named Booking Holdings. Well, the theaters are coming back. AMC posted its highest single-day revenue since the pandemic on Carnage and James Bond films. Man, those James Bond films, I'll tell you what. AMC theaters in the U.S. and Odeon Cinemas internationally posted their highest single-day revenue level since February 2020. Well, February 2020 was a big month. It was the last month before the COVID hit. And I would say at that point in time, the U.S. economy was booming. I'm talking February 2020. The stock market was booming, and along came a virus named COVID-19. And I would say things have not exactly been normal ever since, but it's good to see that more than 2.4 million moviegoers went to AMC theaters in the U.S. this weekend to see these movies. Okay, another worry I have about the cryptos. Coinbase says hackers stole from at least 6,000 customer accounts. COIN, which is a favorite of a lot of the transformational types of ETFs and mutual funds. I'm not a fan of the stock. They're the ones with the biggest platform, I would say. The biggest player for crypto assets with their big giant platform. It's a $49 billion company. It was a lot more than that. It almost reached $100 billion. In fact, it may have back on its opening day when it went above $400 per share. This has happened at several of these so-called crypto platforms. Hackers stole from at least 6,000 customer accounts at Coinbase. Now, the stock is only down 0.5% today, so I guess they're shrugging that off. IPOs and SPACs seem poised for a hot Q4. Well, the one I'm waiting for, okay, in Q4, which we are now in the fourth quarter of 2021, the IPO that everybody's waiting for is Rivian. Rivian looks to be a major player and a major future competitor to Tesla, which we're going to talk about in the second half of the show. Tesla had some very, very good results. Boy, this market continues to go south, doesn't it? Dow down 200, NASDAQ down 250 right now. Ouch, tech stocks taking a beating here. But Rivian, R-I-V-N, is going to come public in the fourth quarter. And the other one everybody's looking to is, it's that Instacart company. So we'll be watching for those. When I come back, I want to talk a little bit about Tesla and Rivian. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. With the markets going south on rising interest rates, that's a big, big issue in the markets right now. Well, we got to talk just a little bit more here about the pandemic and COVID. That's still a big factor in the markets. You saw what the market did on Friday when the Merck news came out. The market went up 485 points. Back down today, however, Moderna's shot is linked to a higher rate of heart inflammation. Well, I've had a few people that I've known that did have that issue after getting the shot. I didn't know which of the makers it was, but apparently Moderna's is the one that seems to have that issue. Moderna's COVID-19 shot linked to higher rates of heart inflammation. Now, the other big issue out there right now are the booster shots. You know, there's a lot of money involved in this for Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, BioNTech, AstraZeneca. And, of course, they would love to have booster shots approved. Well, the booster shots were approved last week, I want to say, for Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson is seeking an FDA nod for booster COVID-19 shot this week. But I read that one of them, BioNTech, is saying that a new formula will probably be needed by mid-2022 to protect against future virus mutations. So they're going to have to keep tweaking the formula, and you're going to have to keep going back and getting a new booster shot, according to BioNTech, BNTX, which says that they're going to have to keep tweaking that formula because of the variants that keep coming in. Now, coming from the COVID. Now, so far there's been this Delta variant, but apparently they're anticipating more variants down the road. California to require COVID-19 vaccines for school kids after full FDA approval. Well, I'm sure that's going to cause some controversy. Are a lot of people out there that they themselves don't want to get vaccinated, and they don't want their kids getting vaccinated. And the California schools say, well, if you want to come to a California school, you have to be vaccinated. You will not have a choice. That's California. All right, let's see. What else do we have? AstraZeneca, they have a breakthrough therapy tag in the U.S. for their breast cancer drug. They're making big movement there with their drug. What's it called? Enhertu, which is a drug that's been very effective against breast cancer. That has helped AstraZeneca stock quite a bit lately. And look at AstraZeneca today. Very perky there. It's hovering, however. It's having a hard time getting through that $60 area. AstraZeneca, AZN, which also has a vaccine for the COVID, is currently ranked number 339 overall in my Best Stocks Now app. All right, now, what I want to do next is take a look at some of the technical analysis of some of these major asset classes that we watch and talk about every day in the market, because there's some changes taking place, okay? As I look at the S&P 500, which is getting hit today, there's some critical support levels right about here where the S&P is trading at, and we may be even violating some of those today. I'll have more on that when I get more heavily involved into looking at individual stocks and indexes. But just from a big step back, from a big point of view, the S&P 500 has been in a very strong uptrend for the last year. Very strong uptrend for the last year, 12 months. Recently, however, we have seen a leveling off, okay? I call an uptrend stage two. as it relates to technical analysis. Stage 2 equals uptrend. Well, no uptrend lasts forever. Eventually, an uptrend starts to level off. And I would say run out of gas, peter out. That's kind of what we're seeing in the S&P 500 right now. After hitting 45.45, okay, that was its all-time high. That is now resistance, its resistance level. It now has support at 4,300, which is where we're at right now. We're at 4,300 on the S&P 500. Let's see if we can hold this support level. But the S&P 500 has gone from an uptrend to a topping out, leveling off. That doesn't mean it's topping out necessarily. Leveling off is different, but a leveling off kind of trend. That's a pretty major change that we've seen here. That's why this earnings season is going to be so important, that we'll start getting earnings reports on here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. That could turn the S&P and ignite it again. I would say that if you look out there amongst the analysts, the big market macro analysts, I would still say that the consensus target price for the S&P is right around 5,000 or a little above 5,000. Of course, right now we're at 4,300. But a lot of that depends upon this coming earnings season. Earnings, earnings, earnings. And from a technical point of view, for now, this market has leveled off, kind of awaiting earnings, and is even threatening to break down through some important support levels. So I take technical analysis very seriously. Now, if you look at the inverse of the S&P 500, SH. SH is an inverse one-to-one inverse correlation to the S&P 500. It has been in a horrible downtrend for the last year. Well, that just makes sense. If the S&P 500 has been in a powerful uptrend for the last 12 months, naturally, the inversely correlated SH ETF would be in a horrible downtrend. Well, that's all changed here in the last 4 weeks, okay? During the month of September, SH kind of bottomed in the early days of September, started to find some support, and is now starting to head up. Okay, now I am a guy, not everybody in the market does this, very few people do it. I'm a guy that uses these inverse funds along the way, especially when I see major changes which start to take place. And we're starting to see a major change start to take place in the S&P 500. And SH would be a natural hedge against the S&P 500. And it's looking better. It's looking a lot better. It's now in a number two, very early stages of a number two uptrend. Okay, something to take note of from a technical point of view. Where does trouble first start to show up in the market? In the stock charts, in the technicals of the market. Okay, let's look at the Dow. You have the same situation, except the Dow started to level off several months ago. The S&P 500 has only been leveling off for the last month. The Dow, however, has been leveling off, for about the last, I would say, almost 2 months, not quite. Now, the inverse of the Dow is dog. Yeah, that's right. Walk the dog. D-O-G, that thing's been leveling off since mid-August, and now it's starting to head up. Okay, that's something to take note of. Dog, the inverse correlated ETF, dog, is starting to move into an uptrend. And the other big index here is the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ has been in a number two uptrend since March of this year. It had a very steep sell-off in mid-February to early March. It mostly hit the very high PE speculative type ARK funds types of stocks, Cathie Wood's types of stocks, okay? And they're getting hammered again today, obviously. But now this is starting to spread this time around to the big tech stocks. We have to be especially on guard. The inverse of the QQQ is PSQ. And I have established a position last week. When the NASDAQ goes down, it goes up. And it has turned around. It was in a horrible number four downtrend, and it's now beginning a number two uptrend, PSQ. Some food for thought for you from a technical point of view. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, which there aren't really any Best Stocks Now today, but there's some best inverse ETFs today. You know, I consider that an asset class. I absolutely consider that an asset class. Obviously, bonds are an asset class. The bond funds are not looking too good right now in a rising interest rate environment. That seems to be a trend that is in place right now. The stocks are an asset class. Cash is an asset class. And there's times when cash comes in real handy in the markets. Precious metals are an asset class. And, of course, I suppose the cryptocurrencies, they're an asset class. But I also consider these inverse funds as an asset class that one can use when things get a little bit dicey in the market. Now, I just want to continue a little bit my technical analysis here of some of these major asset classes. Small cap stocks. They have been in a sideways trend since March. That's been a very difficult area to make money. Small micro-caps, even mid-cap stocks, for whatever reason, and the inverse small-cap ETF is RWM, RWN, the inverse Russell 2000. Well, if the small-cap index is in a very long sideways trend, months-long, many months, 6 months, well, so is the inverse RWM. But having said that, one of the rules of technical analysis, the longer something is in a sideways trend, the more significant is when that sideways trend, something happens that either breaks down into a downtrend or it breaks out into an uptrend. And I would just say that the chances are greater here, just from my perspective, that this small cap long sideways trend is more likely to break down than to break out to the upside. But for now, it remains in a long sideways trend. The emerging markets continue to look horrible. That is not a good chart. I've been talking about that for a long time. There's a lot of China in that chart. China has changed their ways. They've backed off from their quasi-capitalism. They've cracked down on their capitalism. They're moving more back towards their old roots, Mao Zedong, socialist model. They're not getting along with their capitalist partners like us. And that's been a horrible place to be invested. Now, there is an inverse emerging markets ETF. It's called EUM. EUM. And while the emerging market ETF does not look very good, VWO, the emerging market inverse ETF, EUM, looks pretty good right now. That's why I play that song. You got to go where you want to go, do what you want, because that's a lot of choices in the stock market. China, FXI. That's kind of like the Dow of China. It looks horrible. It's been in a horrible downtrend since February. There's an inverse China, FXP. which looks pretty good right now. Europe, several months, sideways trend, flat, going nowhere. The inverse Europe is EPV. It is starting to perk up. The bond market, IEF, is the ETF that I use for the bond market. Well, it has stabilized. It stabilized somewhat today, but I would say that's not a very good chart on the bond market. I continue to not like bond funds. However, I've said many times I have no problem with owning individual bonds to maturity. The chart of interest rates, it broke out to the upside about a week ago. And it looks like the path of least resistance for interest rates now is higher. Okay, that's just look. That's what it looks like to me. The gold markets, that's a dead chart, man. That is just a dead chart going nowhere. Silver has been in a horrible downtrend. Why? Because if you look at a chart of the dollar, these are all one-year charts. If you look at a chart of the U.S. dollar, it's been breaking out and hitting new 52-week highs, which crushes the precious metals. And last but not least, Bitcoin. I would say, actually, that's a pretty good chart on Bitcoin. It has pulled back to its 5,200-day moving average. Started to bounce off of that last week. And that's probably one of the better-looking charts in the market today. Now, I will close today's show with this. I rank the asset classes every week in my newsletter. There was only one asset class ranked B-plus or better last week. I'm talking amongst all the asset classes and all the subdivisions of those asset classes. There was only one out of 34 asset classes that was ranked B plus or better. That shows you how weak this market has gotten. The only one that was higher and ranked B plus or better was the commodity index DBC because it has a lot of oil in it. All the other asset classes are ranked like C plus. The NASDAQ, S&P 500, the Dow. This market has weakened considerably here over the last, I would say six to eight weeks or so. Well, on that happy note, are you in a passive strategy or an active strategy? I would not recommend being in a passive strategy at a time like this. That's just me. You do what you want to do. If you'd like to talk to us about an active, a little more active than just sitting and doing nothing. I mean, that's the alternative, sit and do nothing and watch it. Well, I'll be going through charts of everything I own today. And if I see things that need to be trimmed, they will be trimmed. And if I see inverse funds that need to be added, in addition to the PSQ that I already own, they will be added. Things are changing very, very quickly, and I just believe in active versus passive. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, or you can look at last week's newsletter and look at these charts that I just mentioned for yourself. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.